Very good morning, and I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just a very quick recap of what we have studied so far regarding the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God can come upon both believers and unbelievers so that they will accomplish His will as He pleases. They might not be aware of God using them, but nevertheless, they will do God's will. That's why the Bible teaches us that even the wrath of man will praise God. That's how powerful our Heavenly Father is. The baptism with the Holy Spirit is done by the Lord Jesus Christ. That happens exactly at the point in time when a sinner becomes a saint. That happens when you become a child of God. And once you have the indwelling of the Spirit of God, He never leaves you. He will be in you, and He will become the seal that you are a child of God. Then with the indwelling of the Spirit of God, now the Spirit of God can fill you. He will lead you, He will guide you. And the filling of the Holy Spirit means every area of the believer's life must be led by the Spirit of God according to Holy Scriptures. Do not pick and choose in terms of our obedience. Surrender your all to Him, and He will never fail you. Salvation must come before there can be filling. And once you are saved, you cannot not want to be filled, because that would be sin. When you have the Spirit of God in you, you must allow the Spirit of God to lead you and to guide you in every aspect of your life. To choose otherwise is disobedience. The unbelievers could not do that even if they wanted to, because they are not born again. And therefore, holiness is the prerequisite for filling. The Bible tells us that if you and I regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. That means He won't even hear your prayers. If you know that you have sinned and you do not want to repent of your sin and make right your relationship and your fellowship with God, and to maintain it and to keep our life right, we have to practice biblical separation. Separate ourselves from all that which is sinful, evil, wicked, that will compromise our witness and our testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. And to do that, you must first walk circumspectly. That means walk accurately according to the Scriptures. That is the life, the relationship of filling that you must first have with God before we can consider the filling of the Spirit of God that will involve your relationship with others. That is central, and that is very important. Always pray every morning, consistently, daily, without ceasing, until you go to bed at night. Keep on studying, reading God's Word, for the Word of God is the milk and meat to our hungry soul. And as long as your walk is right with God, the rest will fall into place. And so the Bible teaches us to submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. This is the new verse that we memorize to add on to the other three. Submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. You realize that in every relationship, there will be one who will be the leader, and there will be the other who will have to subordinate. And do not turn all this around, or else there will be quarrels, there will be fighting. Within the church, there will be the leaders whom God has appointed, and there will be the followers. In the husband-wife relationship, there will be the head, and there will be the follower. And in this case, it will be the wife. In the parent-child relationship, the child will follow. The parent will lead. And God gave both instructions to the husband on how to lead and the wife on how to submit. God gave instruction to the children how to obey, how to submit, how to honor, and the parent how to lead, how to take care and not take advantage of those who submit to you. Likewise, when we think of service, and the reason why the word service is used, even though when you look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5 to 9, it is with reference to a master-slave relationship. I deliberately choose to use the word service rather than your employer-employee relationship, is because you find that the principles that we derive from here can be applied to our service in church as well. The same principle, that you find in verse 5 to verse 9 of Ephesians 6 can be applied outside when you're working, in school when you're studying, as well as in church when you are serving and you relate to one another. The principles are the same. Sometimes we tend to think that in our world, in our age, in our time, our working life is very onerous. We are under a government system, and within our office, we have office system, and sometimes we face a lot of great injustices, and we are very upset and angry. And very often, as Christians, we ask ourselves and we ask others, should I be a doormat for people to trample along? Because if they find out that as a Christian, I'm supposed to do my best in everything and to be motivated and constrained, not by money, but just do it because of the Lord, won't they take advantage of me? So therefore, why should I do it? I mean, it's as if I'm doing it for free. They know that if I, as a Christian, I would do it for the Lord, then they will not need to pay me. They do not need to give me any remuneration if I work overtime. And so if they find out, won't I be bullied? Won't I be trampled upon? My colleagues will take advantage of me. They're going to heap on top of my own workload, their workload, and my boss finds that out, I'll be in serious trouble. So I don't want to be a doormat. Please, when you look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5 to 9, you realize that there is no, I think, in my own mind, relationship that we find today that can be worse than what we find in the time of the Apostle Paul when he penned this epistle. They were under the yoke of Rome. Slavery was very common. If you study the laws of slavery under the Roman Empire, you're going to be very, very angry and upset if you are not a Roman citizen. You are not only second class, you are third, fourth, fifth class. That's where you will be. And that's why people want to be a Roman citizen. That's why when the Apostle Paul said, I am born a Roman citizen, you guys pay money to buy your Roman citizenship, and therefore I am one up on you. This is the kind of thinking and mentality, because if you are a Roman citizen, you have a lot of privileges. Remember when Jesus Christ taught the disciples in the Sermon on the Mount? If someone asks you to go 1 mile, you go 2 miles. That was based upon the Roman concept. If there is a soldier in Rome, and he walk around the streets, and according to his own whims and fancies, he has this right, according to the Roman law, to ask anyone who is not a Roman citizen to do whatever he wants. Full stop. It doesn't matter how urgent your matter is. It doesn't matter whether you are running home because your child is dying. It does not matter. He has the right, and if you disobey, he will kill you, and he has the right to kill you. To ask you to perform whatever task he desires, no matter how trivial it is, no matter how ridiculous it might be to you, you have to do it. And the limit that he will set, the law sets, is 1 mile. So if he is here and he just feel like a cup of water from the well that may be 600 meters away, or 600 yards away, you have to run there, walk there, get the drink of water for him, and then he will drink it. He doesn't have to say thank you. You have to do it. If you don't, he will kill you. That's his right, according to the Roman law. You can bear, you can argue, he doesn't have to listen. He said, just go and get it, and you have to go and get it. That was the kind of yoke that the people had to live under during the Roman Empire. And Jesus says, you go the second mile. In other words, 1 mile, second mile, double it. That means you don't think of yourself, you think of the other person, and if the person wants to inconvenience you, you let him not only inconvenience you within the prescribed law, but you go beyond the law. That was what Jesus taught the disciples if they say they are Christians. Because if you study the Sermon on the Mount, it is a tremendous and most powerful message that you can find on planet Earth. From the moment Jesus gave us the Beatitudes, he described for us what it means to be a Christian, from poverty of spirit to persecution. after you have all these beatitudes, that means you are born again, every believer has the beatitudes, and Jesus says, you be the light and salt on this earth. Plain and simple. So that when they see your life and your good works, they will see Christ and glorify my Father who is in heaven. How to do that? The rest of chapter 5, Paul told them, you obey God's word. I'm not here to destroy the law. I'm here to tell you how important the word of God is. As a child of God now, the word of God will become the milk and meat to your soul. You must study and obey God's word. And then in chapter 6, he talks about another relationship, and that is our personal relationship with God in terms of tithe and offering, in terms of prayer, in terms of fasting. And then after that, he covers another aspect of our lives in terms of our possession. What you have, don't serve mammon, you serve only God. You can't serve both. Either you love one and hate the other, you can't love both. God will not accept it because he's a jealous God. And then with regards to the possessions that you do not have, that you continue to seek after, Jesus says, stop. Now you must seek only God's kingdom and his righteousness, and you let God take care of all your physical needs. And then chapter 7, he talks about our relationship with one another. Do not judge censoriously, judge according to the truth, but even as you judge, you first judge yourself. Make sure before you try your best to take out the little mote in your neighbor's eye, you take out the beam in your own eye first. And this is the narrow path. This is the way of the Christian. And if you walk this narrow path, at the end of it, you will go through the narrow gate, and that is eternal life. If you choose not to live this narrow life, you walk the broad way, bear in mind that it will lead you to the broad gate, and you open it, it is destruction. That's the Sermon on the Mount. That's how Jesus taught us. That's what the life of a Christian is. Don't be afraid of so-called being taken advantage. Your Heavenly Father will make sure that you obey God's word. As a wife, you submit to your husband, and the husband, you bear in mind that God is no respecter of person. You take advantage and you abuse it, you answer to God. Parent-child relationship, the same. And then when it comes to the servant-master relationship, it is the same. And so God has to tell the Christians, especially those who are slaves, still slaves as Christians. And so he says, servants. The word servants there literally means doulos. Doulos means slaves. Abject slaves. No right of your own. You serve and the master can just simply kick you and kill you. And he will not be charged in court. You are nothing but a piece of meat, and he may even rank you lower than his donkey. And you have to accept it. And I don't think any one of us in this 21st century, in almost any part of the world, your situation can be worse than what the people in the time of the Apostle Paul had to encounter when he penned these words of counsel to them. So please do not murmur and complain. Do not be afraid when God wants us to apply this principle of the filling of the Spirit of God in our service. Please, God is never wrong. Please understand that your Heavenly Father will always take care of you. Do you know how important it is for parents to understand this? That once you make sure of your children's salvation, now your children will become God's children, because now they can also call God Abba Father. And once you have done that, the next step is to guide our children to do the will of God in their lives. And once you have accomplished these two tasks as parents, your job is done. You can go home and call home by God at any time. And as far as parenting is concerned, you have passed the test. You have been filled with the Spirit of God. God has led you and guided you. You are okay. Now, of course, there are the other areas of your life. That means when God allow you to remain on earth to look after his children who are now able to call him Abba Father, you are just a bonus. He doesn't need us to look after his children now because they are already believers. He can take care of them, but he allows you and me to remain on earth to be his hands and his legs, to guide them, help them. We are redundant. And so every day after you know that your children are born again, they have already discovered God's will for their lives, you just enjoy every moment of every day in your parent-child relationship. You pass the test already. Don't you think so? When it comes to the working life, you must also Understand that God is sovereign and all-powerful, not only over your life, but over everyone that He will allow to come into your life, including all your bosses, the CEO, no matter how powerful they are nothing compared to your Heavenly Father. You must realize and understand this in its reality so that you will not be afraid, so that you will not panic, so that you will not be ashamed to stand up for Christ in your workplace the way that you ought to. You have to, because this is an exercise of faith. And that's why it is so important to study God's word, because the more you study God's word, the more you know God, the more you know how powerful He is, the easier it is for you to trust Him. Because if He is a stranger to you, it's very hard to trust a stranger. But when you know that He can control Nebuchadnezzar as if he is a nobody, and you know Nebuchadnezzar was the most powerful new Babylonian king during that empire. Because before him, the father of Nebuchadnezzar was not as powerful as Nebuchadnezzar. After his death, all the other sons and grandsons of Nebuchadnezzar were nothing compared to him. And that's why when God humbled him, God showed us and God showed the Israelites, do you know who I am? You are now in captivity not because of Nebuchadnezzar's power, not because Israel is weak, not because God has gone to sleep. It's because of Israel's idolatry that you are now in trouble. Now you are in exile because you have disobeyed me. Not because Nebuchadnezzar is more powerful or the gods of Nebuchadnezzar is more powerful than Jehovah. I am God Almighty. Now you call me Abba Father. That's what God tells us. And so when you go to work, when you go to school, when you serve in the Lord, serve the Lord in the church, bear this in mind, servants. Be obedient to them that are your masters. This servant master really masters, not just a figure of speech. This is a real slave-master's relationship. And according to the flesh, that's why you see, according to the flesh, real master-slave relationship. In those days, they really have it. Do so with fear and trembling. Obey them with fear and trembling. Now, fear and trembling of the masters or of God? Why fear and trembling? Of course, fear and trembling of God. Serve them with humility, with total, absolute obedience. Don't give them any just cause to find fault with you because you are really wrong. Please make sure that when you are punished in your office for a wrongdoing, don't say you are suffering for Christ. You are not. You are suffering for the wrongdoing. You have made a mistake. You were not careful. You were careless. You did not add the figures properly. And because you did not add the figures properly, now the company is in hot soup because you have failed. Now all you need to do is to apologize and be prepared for the consequences. And you will have to bear the consequences because it was a blunder that should not have happened. You were careless. But when you are not careless, you do your level best, and then they still find fault with you, then you can say you're suffering for Christ. That's what it means by obedience to your master of the flesh with fear and trembling, because God knows you are serving God while you are in your office, wherever you are, in singleness of heart, which means with sincerity. Do it for Jesus' sake. With sincerity. You know how important sincerity is? It is a very, very rare virtue today. Because most of the time, people follow what is stated in verse 6. Eye service as man pleases. That's the norm. That's the way of the world, isn't it? I'm sure you have seen it. I've seen it when I was in the National Service. We have this company sergeant major. Company sergeant majors, all the sergeant majors are well known to be fierce. But this company sergeant major, he has a nickname called Mad Dog. He will scold you for no rhyme or reason. He will carry his stick and his uniform will be pristine condition, not a wrinkle, not a crease. And he is proud of it. And he'll walk up and down, traverse throughout the whole camp, and he walk as if he is the king of the dog. Literally. But we call him Mad Dog. Of course, he doesn't know that we call him Mad Dog. Maybe he knows, he doesn't care. Mad Dog because he scolds people for no reason at all. So whenever he's around, everybody would behave. Literally, behave very well. If you're not busy, you pretend to be busy. Because if you don't, he's going to bark at you and he's going to bite you and you're in trouble. And so, we pretend. Whenever he comes, pretend to be busy. The moment he left, We all sit down, relax, you know, put our legs up and chit-chat and smile and laugh. The moment he comes, you all pretend. In the army, that's what people do. But you and I know that it's not restricted to the army. In the workplace, this is common. And in school, it's probably also very common. In church also, perhaps, it's also common. God says, you don't do that. Singleness of heart means sincerely. Do it truly, sincerely. Give your level best. Whether the boss stands over your shoulder to stare at you, to watch you, doesn't matter. They will see the same me. Whether he is present or absent, you still see the same hardworking, diligent, honest worker with singleness of mind, that is sincerity of heart, as unto Christ. I am here as an ambassador of Christ. I am not here as an employee. I'm here as an ambassador of Christ because I pray that God will open a door for me to serve him. And if this is the company that God wants me to be his ambassador, that means all these colleagues in this company, be prepared to see Christ by the way that I live. That must be your singleness of heart. I am here as an ambassador to tell you, look at my life because you're going to see Christ. That's what it means. Because any other motivation, any other agenda is worldly and carnal, because there is no agenda on earth, don't you agree, that can be higher than what Jesus sent us forth to do? To live a life of holiness, to live a life of purity whereby they see Jesus Christ, the Son of God, by the way that I speak, by the way that I dress, by the way that I work with my hands, by the places that my feet will bring me or will not bring me. All these is supposed to bring glory to Christ, because I want you to see Christ. Because once you see Christ, and you will recognize how great a sinner you are. And then when you look at Christ, he can be your savior. He will deliver you from the depths of death and hell itself. Don't you think that motivation is above any motivation that you can think of? Why exchange this motivation with the pursuit of filthy lucre, money? Why do you want to do that? Why do you want to exchange this tremendous ambassador of Jesus Christ for the promotion as your motivation? I work hard because I want to be promoted and promoted to the highest office, and that is the CEO. You want that to be your motivating factor? Then how are you and I different from the rest of the world, the unbelievers? It makes no sense. They do that because they do not know Christ. They do that because they don't have the indwelling of the Spirit of God. They do that because they don't have the filling of the Spirit of God to empower them, to guide them to do that. They fail. They can't. And it is expected. But it is not expected, and it is unreasonable for the child of God who has the Spirit of God in him, who has the Spirit of God who is prepared to lead him and guide him, to be the best ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible tells us, slave, even in this kind of abject, most difficult, unjust scenario, you obey with sincerity of heart because you do it as if you are doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ. That means they can bully you, they can kick you around, they can make you wake up at 4 a.m. in the morning and work under the hot sun right until sunset, and then come back, force you to prepare the meal, and then while the bosses, the master and the family are eating, you just stand at the corner there, look at them eat, and whatever they leave behind will become your food. Do it all cheerfully with sincerity for Jesus' sake. That's the life of a slave in those days. Please realize that. So, whatever you receive right now, I'm sure it cannot even come close to what these slaves had to endure. And yet, the Bible tells them, do it cheerfully with singleness of heart, sincerely from your heart. Do it as unto Christ. Not with eye service, not just for the masters to see so that he will not cane you, so that he will not punish you. Don't do that. The rest of them will do that, but not you. You have been transformed. You are now a child of God. Don't do it just to please men. But as the slaves, servants, as the slaves of Christ, that's who you are. Slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Acknowledge that God has put me there, and whatever lot in life, whatever they give to me, it's not them. My Heavenly Father is sovereign. If he wants to add on top of this workload, additional workload, and if I'm able to manage it, come on, more, I will continue to do it. Continue to do it. Continue to do it. Until when? Well, until the Lord says, stop, enough. My Heavenly Father is sovereign. He will take care of His children. You trust Him? You know your Heavenly Father is all-powerful, right? You know your Heavenly Father is all-knowing, right? You know your Heavenly Father is all-present, right? Everywhere is present before the very omniscient eyes of God, all at the same time. That is the meaning of omnipresence. Everywhere is present in the eyes of God, all at the same time. That means your birth, your service, your death, all present in the eyes of your Heavenly Father, all at the same time. You think He can make a mistake? He knows your beginning. He knows your beginning even before you begin, right? He elected us, chosen us before the foundation of the world. So He knows your parents' beginning before they are beginning. All at the same time. That's how powerful our Heavenly Father is. So what happens to you right now, and what happens to you 10 years until the Lord returns or until the Lord calls you home? God knows all these all at the same time. He doesn't gain knowledge. He doesn't have progressive knowledge. God is not progressing in His knowledge. He doesn't change because He's immutable. The moment you say that God has knowledge added to Him, then He's changed. He has changed. His character, His attribute, His essence, they are all immutable, all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present. That's your Heavenly Father. You and I discover His will with the passing of every minute, every hour. And that is the beauty and the excitement and the wonder of the abundant life. To discover, to experience, bit by bit, the presence of God in my life. But that can only happen when you obey Him. When you follow His word. When you allow the Spirit of God to fill you, to lead you and to guide you. Because that's what He wants for you. You have to serve Him with the right motive. Singleness of heart, doing the will of God. That's what it means. You are there doing the will of God. That's why it's so important to pray. To pray and discover God's will, where He wants you to go. And once He opened the door, you will know for a fact that He has opened the door there for you. And once you step in, step through that door, please don't think that it will be a bed of roses without thorns. There will be a lot of struggle, lot of difficulties, but God will see you through them all. God knows the strength of your faith at this point in time. He will not show you everything. He will show you a little bit at a time according to the measure of your faith as your faith matures. Because if He were to show you, all right, child of God, this is what's going to happen to you for the next 10 years of your life. He'll show you. But at this point of time, your faith is so small, He shows you what will happen 10 years later, where your faith will now be 10 years stronger, but He can't show that to you because your faith is 10 years younger. He shows you, you'll run away, you're going to collapse. If God were to tell me, okay, I'm going to call you to full-time ministry, but please understand, somewhere after you graduated from America, you come back to serve, you're going to be taken to court, one of your own church members is going to sue you, and you're going to struggle. And then there will be this problem, this problem within the church, and then there will be this problem of the lawsuit if you serve in FEBC. And then this problem of the lawsuit is going to be for how many years? And then you all have to go to court. If God were to show me all this, just not even all, just 10%, you think I want to go full time? I'd rather design buildings. Buildings, they don't quarrel with me. I don't like this window. I smash it. I change it. The window just allow me to do it. The windows won't fight back. You know that, right? I don't like this door. I just change the door. I move it to here. The door will move. It's just, now with computer, just erase, move, and the door will move. And then the people will build according to what I have designed. So easy to design building. Buildings never quarrel. Ugly buildings, plant trees. Problem solved. Right? I mean, if you want to be a doctor, you make mistakes, just bury your mistake. True or not? Right? But in the church, with all these things He showed to me, I run away. It's not that God doesn't want to show us. God knows that you can't take it. It's just like you trying to bring up your little son. And then you tell him when he is entering primary school. You tell him the whole nightmare of primary school, secondary school, university, and then postgraduate. When he is 7 years old, going to about to study, and you tell him the whole nightmare of the whole study life, you think that will help him? Daddy, I don't want to study. I want to stay home. Isn't it? You can tell me, you're going to have this exam, and that assignment, and then when you get into university, you have this and that. He's going to be crushed by that revelation. He can't take it. He's only 7. He's not 17. God will do the same with us. He can tell you everything from day one to the day you die. Not because He doesn't want to, because He knows you and I can't take it. He knows the measure of your faith. And that's why everything will be day by day by day by day. And that's how He wants us to live. Day by day. Trust Him. He takes care of His children. He is not a derelict father like some of us. He never falls asleep. He never gets tired. And there is nothing more powerful than Him on this planet Earth. Not even the most powerful enemy of God, that is Satan himself, the fallen archangel. And he is a creature. He is nothing to God. He can't touch one hair on your head without your heavenly Father's permission. So why are you so afraid? Why are you so faithless? Trust Him. He will never fail you. If He says, keep the Sabbath day holy, you keep the Sabbath day holy. Let Monday to Saturday be your day where you serve the Lord, to keep body and soul together, where you serve the Lord to the best of your ability. Whatever He brings in, He knows that this is all the remuneration, all the things you need to make sure that your faith and your love for Him will not be jeopardized. One extra cent, one extra dollar may cause your faith to crumble and fall, because He doesn't want you to fall into the sin of loving money, which is the root of all evil. So He will give you more than you need, just enough for your faith. If He wants to give you more, if your faith is not ready to accept more responsibilities, He will not give it to you. But if you disobey Him and you go on your own to get more against His will, you're going to stumble and fall. People call it backsliding, right? Don't do that. Singleness of heart, sincerely remembering, I am serving Christ. In other words, they don't have to pay me 1 cent, I'll still be in this company. I will work as much as I possibly can without jeopardizing all the other areas of my life. You don't have to pay me 1 cent, you don't have to promote me, I will still do my very best. You think of any motivation that can be superior than this? None. But what if they don't pay me? Don't worry. It's not what if they don't pay me. What if my Heavenly Father will not take care of my physical needs? What if my Heavenly Father will not take care of my children's needs? You think God will not do that? Did He not give us His word? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And if you are a father with children, you think God doesn't know that you have children? He gave you your children. You think He will not provide? When you start to become afraid, that means you have no faith. Not that you have no faith in the sense that you're not born again. You have no faith in this particular incident. It's just like the disciples. When Jesus Christ was sleeping in this boat, and then a storm suddenly came, they're supposed to cross the Sea of Galilee from point A to point B, and then they started to panic and became very frightened. And then they woke up the Lord Jesus, don't you care, we are about to die. Jesus says, O ye of little faith. And then later on, He said the same thing to them. Oh, ye of no faith. Yes, you have genuine faith, but your faith is so small that in this particular trial and difficulty that have allowed you to experience, you did not exercise your faith because your faith was weak, and therefore you exercise no faith in this incident. Not that you have no faith as if you are not born again, because you have no faith, you are not born again. That's why God wants you to strengthen your faith so that you will be able to trust Him. There are quite a number of people, members, some of them, in Pandan Church. Very fervent and zealous while they were students. But the moment they get into the married life, the courtship life, and getting married with young children and with jobs, they allow those cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches to rob them of the spiritual growth that they could have. Because they forgot the singleness of heart in serving Christ, doing the will of God. Don't forget, please. Let the filling of the Holy Spirit guide you, strengthen you, and help you to maintain and pray for this singleness of heart and serve the Lord with Christ and Abraham. You are Christ's servant. Don't forget that. Servants of Christ. Slaves of Christ. So, give your best. Don't think of money. Don't think of promotion. Just think of Christ. Not impossible. Very, very possible and probable for every believer. And then verse 7, the next. Do it with goodwill. This word, goodwill, literally means do it with a good mind. That's what it means. A good mind. With a good attitude. With a goodwill, doing service. The word doing service means slavery. It's the same word, doulos, slavery, but this is in the verb form. With a good mind, doing the task of a slavery as if you are doing to the Lord and not to men. That you must always remember, because there will be moments it's going to be very trying. There will be moments whereby it's going to be very onerous and difficult, and the tendency is to forget. That is what Satan will love to do, make you forget, and the moment you forget, you're going to start murmuring, you're going to indulge in self-pity, and the moment you enter into murmuring and self-pity, you realize that your testimony is gone. Don't let that happen. That's why it is so important to serve with a good mind. What kind of good mind? Doing the work of a slave? Remember that I am serving the Lord. I am serving the Lord. I am serving the Lord. This past 20 plus years serving in Calvary Pandan, honestly speaking, I can't tell you the many times I want to quit. I'm not kidding. I can't count the number of times I quit. But every time I remember the reason for the number of times I want to quit, the same reason applies. And the same reason was, I forgot that I was serving the Lord. I murmur, I complain, because when you want to give your all, like what verse 5 and verse 6 tells us to do, some part of us would like some form of appreciation, that they will reciprocate with some kindness and kind words, when nothing comes. And then when you make mistakes, or when the needs of the people are not ministered to, and then you fall short of their expectation, many of them are ready to bite your head off. Very ready. But when you give your best and they benefit from this, benefit from that, they don't say thank you. And so sometimes when you are not close to God, like what we studied, right? Your relationship with Christ is not healthy and vibrant and close. Then you allow these things to come in. Your relationship, husband and wife, will be affected. And then your relationship with the children will be affected. And of course, your relationship in service will also be affected. That is why it is so important that you maintain your relationship with Christ. Then the relationship with people, with service, with all the other areas will slowly fall into place. So the key is your relationship with the Lord. These bad and sinful reactions and responses from us normally is a result of this painful relationship that begins to wane. I'm speaking from experience. And then you have to repent, and then you have to ask the Lord to forgive you. Even when I was studying, self-pity is so real. When my wife was expecting number two, our second daughter, Elena, our decision was she comes back to Singapore to give birth to her, because she has her mom and her other siblings and family members to take care of her while she is expecting. And then after Elena was born, there'll be the support of the family. I was studying in a seminary, and so we figured that it was the best thing to do. I mean, if I have to relive all over again, I would not have done that. I would rather have her stay with me. Because this separation lasted more than 8.5 months. Okay, she went back, I think, around maybe August or September. And then, during the winter, we tried to study as much as possible. When all our seminary friends went back home for Thanksgiving and winter Christmas celebration, we stayed behind because we have no family to go to. So we stayed behind, we took the winter courses. And I remember during these winter courses, we were supposed to read 1,000 pages of books that attack the Bible, because it was called Old Testament Critical Methodologies. And it was very frustrating. It was vexation of spirit to read 1,000 of pages of books within 2 weeks. And then write summaries of what you have read. And so I still remember it was snowing outside. I was all alone in this small little cubicle using a sewing table, a makeshift sewing table as my table, put my tiny little laptop. And then I was doing the paper. Outside was snowing. Everybody was sleeping because it was about 2, 3 a.m. in the morning. And I said, what in the world am I doing here? I should be back home in Singapore with my wife. Then I started to murmur and complain, of course, to myself and to God. It's wasting my time in studying this word. Nonstop. 2 a.m. And then the more you murmur, the self-pity becomes bigger and bigger. And then it overwhelms you. And then suddenly you realize you have sinned terribly. And then you repent and you ask the Lord to forgive you. And then you started to cry. And then you ask the Lord, I'm so sorry, please forgive me. Then you pick yourself up and then you start on again. I think this was the one and only experience, many more to come. Self-pity. Because when you serve as what verse 5 and verse 6 says, and you don't get any approval, you don't get any appreciation, that happens. You think God doesn't know? That's why God says you serve with a good mind, with the right kind of mindset. As to the Lord, don't ever forget to the Lord, to the Lord, to the Lord. Don't have to say thank you. It's okay. Don't have to pat me on the back. Don't have to recognize me. It's okay. After I finish serving, doing my best, you just sweep me under the carpet and I just become the dust under your feet. It's okay. I'm serving the Lord. That kind of mindset, don't lose it. It will sustain you to maintain this singleness of heart, this sincerity of heart, the right kind of mind. That's what the goodwill then means, a good mind. As unto the Lord, not unto men. Never unto men. Don't ever forget that, because the natural inclination is unto men, because we have been doing that and we are surrounded by people who are doing that, and therefore it is so easy for us to forget and so easy to become like them. Don't let that happen. If it ever happens, repent and come back to the Lord. Repent and come back to the Lord. No matter how many times, repent and come back to the Lord, because the Lord knows His grace and His mercies will always be there for us. Don't give up on the Lord. Don't say, I throw in the towel. I keep on failing. I don't want to do anymore. Don't let that happen. Don't ever, ever give up. The Lord will always be there to pick you up. Just come back to Him. How many times? Never ending. Stumble and fall, come back. Stumble and fall, come back. Stumble and fall, come back. The good mind as unto the Lord, not unto men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be born or free. See, when you serve the Lord knows and He will return to you what He knows you need best. That's why pastors never, never ask for pay rise. It's shameful. When I was told that this pastor has been serving for only 1 year, and then he wrote to the board of elders, I want a pay rise. Then there was this another pastor, say, if you don't increase my pay, I resign. I mean, there are this kind of shameful pastors. They are hirelings. They should not be in the ministry in the first place. They bring shame to the name of all pastors by this kind of behavior and conduct. Where is the faith? Where is the trust in the Lord? The Lord says, right, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, you serve the Lord, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be born or free. So it doesn't matter. Your Lord is sovereign and all-powerful. He knows that He wants you to be the best slave you possibly can, then you be the best. If He wants you to be the best master, the best free man, then you be the best. Don't allow your lot in life to be your status symbol, and therefore I am only this, so therefore I'm a nobody. Never, never think that way. You are a child of God. That must be foremost in your thinking and in your heart and in your mind. Don't take confidence in the fact that I am a master, I am free, you are a slave, so therefore I'm better than you. Don't allow all these so-called status symbol to dictate your thinking. These kind of status symbols are all of the world. That is why it is so important that you and I remember that whenever you come to church, you leave behind all your titles and all your money and all your accolades of the world. Not interested. Why? Because We are worshiping God. We are not here to outshine one another. We are not here to compete with what you have obtained out in the world. None of these nonsense. We are here to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, God Almighty. And therefore, as we come to worship, either you come as a sinner saved by grace or a sinner in need of grace. Not a CEO saved by grace. Not a doctor saved by grace. Not an engineer, architect, astrophysicist saved by grace. You are just a sinner saved by grace. Period. Don't forget that. And you think your Heavenly Father will not take care of you? He will reward you. He will give to you what He knows you need. Not what you want, what you need that will help your faith and your trust in Him to grow. That's what He will do. Because that is the best thing, don't you think? To have your faith mature and grow with every passing month and passing year. And then your walk with the Lord becomes stronger and deeper and more intimate. Isn't that the best? Thus, such things money cannot buy. The world doesn't know. All the money in the world cannot be enough to pay for such a wonderful, wonderful relationship with God Almighty. Don't you agree? And all this is made possible because of God's grace and God's mercy when He saved us, when He gave us the Holy Spirit, and now the Holy Spirit can indwell us, fill us, and aid us to accomplish all this and turn this into a reality. And so He warned masters, don't take advantage. Do the same things unto them, not as man pleases, serving the Lord, exactly the same. Forbearing threatening. Don't go back to your old ways. Restrain threatening. Don't get your slaves to obey you by threatening them. Don't do that anymore. Knowing that your master also is in heaven. You have a master that is God Almighty overseeing what you are doing. So please, you're an employer. Be a Christian employer. Bear in mind that God is above you, watching everything that you do. You are an employer, be a Christian employer. You are a slave, an employee, be a Christian slave, a Christian employee to the best of your ability. Both of you are serving the same Heavenly Father. Neither is there respect of persons with Him. You think He's going to treat you differently because you are a master? God is no respecter of person. He doesn't even care if you are Moses. And none of us can even come close to the privileges that God has bestowed upon Moses. To all the prophets, God says, I speak to them through visions and dreams. But to you, Moses, no vision, no dreams, face to face. And after all these things, you sin, and therefore God says, I respect you, Moses. You can enter still, never mind sin a bit more, it's okay. Even for Moses, whom God told Israel, you regard him as God. Even with that kind of honor and privilege. Do you know that there is only one man on earth who can approach God? By bringing the sin offering, burnt offering, without offering offerings for his own sin first? Do you know that when Aaron and the priest, before they are allowed to receive the offerings of the people, they have to offer sin offering and burnt offerings for their own sins first to be dealt with? Then only their hands are clean enough to receive the offerings of the people. And they have to do this every day. Every morning they offer sin offering, burnt offerings for their own sin. Then only are they ready and be allowed by God to receive the offerings of the people. But when Moses consecrated them, Moses just took the offerings of Aaron and his sons and then just offered. He did not have to offer sin offering and burnt offering for his own sin. He just did it. No one, no human being was allowed to do that. You know why? Because God said, Moses, you will be to them as God. So they will regard Moses as God, that as if every word that he speaks equals the word of God. That's why Moses cannot offer sin offering and burnt offering, because to do so would mean that God has sinned. That's why he can just simply receive it and then just offer them without having to atone for his own. So he was like us. And yet with all this honor and privileges, he sinned against God. God says, you can't enter. Finish. And Moses prayed and prayed and prayed. God said, you stop praying. Don't pray that prayer anymore. I'm not going to answer that prayer. God is no respecter of persons. You think God has changed? No matter what you do, don't use what you do in obedience to God as an excuse for sin. Don't you use that as a bargaining chip to God. God, I've done so much, I've given so much. Please, don't punish me. God is no respecter of persons. Please bear this in mind. That's why when you serve the Lord, He is the best master. Truly, He's the best master. He will never betray you. He will never abuse you. He will always take care of you. He will make sure that whatever load He puts on your shoulder, He knows how strong you are. He knows it will not crush you. It will be just enough for you to carry it with much prayer and thanksgiving. He knows. That's our Lord. That's why evidence of filling in service, in singleness of heart, with a good mind or good will, do it as unto the Lord. Don't allow any area of your life bring shame to the name of Christ. That's what it means to be filled with the Spirit of God. And all these areas will change. Some will go, some will come. Every area, every relationship, in other words, that God has blessed you with, let it be led by the Spirit of God. That's what filling of the Spirit of God means. And that's what God wants to do in your life, so that you will experience the abundant life that Jesus Christ promised every believer, so that your life will truly impact others for Jesus Christ, so that your life will bring blessing to everyone that God gives to you. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the privilege of service. We thank Thee, O Lord, for all the areas of life that You have given to us, our relationships with people, with possessions, and with You. May all these areas bring glory and honor unto Thy holy name. Teach us, O Lord, day by day, to maintain and to ensure that no area in our lives that You have blessed us with will be jeopardized because we want to be better in another area. But with Your help and with the filling of Thy Holy Spirit, O God, help us to be the best parent, the best son, the best employer, the best servant, the best master, the best servant, the best husband, the best wife that You and I, that we can possibly be. Help us, O Lord, that as we long for the soon return of our Savior, that we may remember that our lives of testimony are numbered. How many days we have are known only to Thee. But with every day that You give us, may we be filled with Thy Spirit, that every area of our lives will truly bring blessing to many and glory to Thy holy name. Where we have failed Thee, O Lord, forgive us. Help us never to stop serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, even unto the day when He returns. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for Jesus' sake, in Jesus' name. Amen.